yourself wonderful. Ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Walk yourself wonderful.
Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of There's a Walk for That. I'm Harriet Thomas, and I'm sitting in one of my favourite places at the moment, my garden. So you're going to hear lots of lovely nature sounds, which I always think is appropriate for this show, which is all about the benefits of walking in nature. Now, I want to start today's conversation with an apple. So we all know what an apple is, but when you go into a supermarket, you don't simply find a box labelled apples. You find varieties. There are Cox's Orange Pippins, Bramleys, Brabens, Pink Ladies, Granny Smiths, Galas, Golden Delicious. They're all apples, but they don't taste the same. They don't all have the texture, and you wouldn't necessarily use them in the same way. You might choose a sharp Bramley for a delicious apple crumble, a crisp Granny Smith for a salad, and a sweet Gala or Pink Lady to eat on its own. They are all apples, but the variety changes the experience and changes the outcome. And walking is exactly the same. We all know what a walk is, or at least we think we do. You put on your shoes, you leave the house, and you move from one place to another. But in reality, there are as many varieties of walking as there are varieties of apples. There are walks that calm you, walks that energize you, walks that help you think, walks that bring people together, walks that sharpen your focus, walks that can help you rediscover curiosity, gratitude, or wonder. They are all walks, but they don't all do the same thing. Over the past 4 years of walking every day, I have experimented with these different varieties of walking. Some emerged from research, some came from my own experience. Hello, parrots in London. Others came from noticing that changing my pace, my route, intention, or attention could completely change how I felt when I returned. And I began to develop favourites. Eventually, I organised those favourites into a system that I call alchemy, because it teaches you how to turn something ordinary, a daily walk, into exactly the medicine that you need at that moment. There are 7 walks within the alchemy system. A is for anxiety relief. That's my stress buster walk. L is for light bulb moments. C is for clarity and focus. H is for happiness. That's the gratitude walk. E is for exploration. M is for meaningful connection, the connector walk. And Y is for youthful wonder, the wonder walk. So that's just one activity, but 7 outcomes. Today, we're starting with A, anxiety relief. And this is my favourite walk, the stress buster walk. And we're starting here because stress affects almost everything else that we're trying to work on. Your sleep, your energy, your appetite, your waistline, your concentration, your immune system, your mood, your relationships, creativity, connection, happiness and wonder are all so much harder to access when the nervous system is stuck in fight or flight. So before we try to unlock great ideas or rediscover adventure or be the person we want to be with those we love, we need to teach the body how to come back to calm. And that is exactly what the Stress Buster Walk is designed to do. Let's talk about the kind of stress that has become so familiar that we've started calling it normal everyday life. Do you recognize any of these? You wake up and your mind is already running through the day. What needs doing? Who needs something from you? What have you forgotten? What might go wrong? You check your phone before you've properly opened your eyes. You move from task to task. You answer messages and emails. You deal with traffic, bills, appointments, family responsibilities, work pressures, health worries. And beneath all of that sits the relentless collection of tiny demands that rarely look significant on their own, but become exhausting when they arrive one after another. Sure, you're functioning. You may be coping like really well. You may be appearing to be holding everything together so beautifully. But inside, your mind is constantly switched on. There is no real off switch, which means your body is pumping out stress all day with nowhere for that stress to go. So the stress builds. In the short term, you may feel wired, tired, impatient, snappy. Perhaps you react sharply to someone you love and immediately wonder, whoa, who was that? Was that really me speaking? Or you might feel exhausted throughout the day, but the moment your head reaches a pillow, that's when your brain decides it's time to replay every conversation you ever had. You may struggle to concentrate. Small decisions feel enormous. You walk into a room and forget why you're there. You reach for sugar because you need energy, or pour a glass of wine because you desperately need to switch off. In the longer term, chronic stress can contribute to poor sleep, low energy, disrupted appetite, stronger cravings, and fat storage around the abdomen. It can affect your immune system, your blood pressure, your blood sugar, memory, and decision making. And yet, when we're stressed, we often tell ourselves that the answer is just to try harder, be more organized, get more done, download another productivity app, write a better list, push through. Or we try to numb it. We scroll, we watch television, we drink, we eat, we shop. We stay permanently busy so that we never have to stop and notice how we feel. But what if the answer is not another productivity strategy? What if you can't think your way out of a physical stress response? What if the body needs to be involved? That is where the Stress Buster Walk comes in. It's not simply going for a walk and hoping that you feel better. It's a deliberate way of walking designed to help your body and your brain move from alert to calm. It combines nature, slowness, breathing, rhythm, and sensory awareness. And it can become one of the most useful tools you have for protecting your energy, your sleep, your health, your relationships, and your long-term health. So let's begin with a simple question. What does stress look like for you? Where do you feel it in your body? Is it in your shoulders, your jaw, your chest, your stomach? Perhaps your breathing becomes shallow, your heart beats faster, your body feels permanently braced. Now think about your mind. What happens to your thoughts when you're stressed? Do they race? Do you struggle to focus? Do you replay the same worry again and again? And what happens to your behavior? Do you become impatient, withdrawn, irritable, over-controlling? Do you comfort eat, pour a drink? If you were to think of three words that describe who you become when you're stressed, what would those three words be? Maybe impatient, tired, anxious, overwhelmed? You know what? It's nothing personal. It's not because you're wrong. It's not because you can't be as great as anyone else. It's because you're human. And you have chronic stress. You have cortisol that is flooding your body and it has nowhere to go. It's your simple human response. Stress is not simply a thought. It's a whole body reaction. When your brain detects a threat, whether that threat is a speeding car, an angry email, an overdue bill, or a difficult conversation, your nervous system prepares you to respond. Stress hormones such as cortisol and adrenaline are released. Your heart starts racing, your blood pressure rises, your muscles tense. I bet you know that feeling. Energy becomes available so that you can fight, flee, or deal with a problem. In a genuine emergency, this is useful. You want your body to react quickly, but the stress system was designed to switch on and then switch off. The difficulty with modern stress is that there is often no clear ending. You deal with one email and then another arrives. You finish one task and three more appear. You solve one problem and immediately start worrying about the next one. The danger may not be physical, but the body still receives the message. Stay alert. Do not relax. When that response remains switched on, cortisol remains elevated. And over time, that can increase appetite, cravings, encourage abdominal fat storage, disrupt sleep, reduce energy, and impair memory and focus. It can also affect blood pressure, blood sugar, and the immune function. Your body, though, is not working against you. It is simply responding to the messages it's receiving. And that is such an important message, particularly for women who feel frustrated with themselves. You're not weak because you're tired. You're not failing because you cannot concentrate. You're not undisciplined because you're craving sugar. You may be living in a body that has received too many signals of pressure and not enough signals of safety. Research from the Mental Health Foundation and YouGov illustrates how stress can spill over into behavior. In a survey of 4,619 people, 46% said stress had led them to eat too much or eat unhealthily. 29% said they had started drinking or increasing their drinking. And among adults who felt stressed, 51% reported feeling depressed and 61% reported feeling anxious. So when someone says that stress is all in your head, they're really missing the point. Sure, stress begins in the brain, but it is experienced throughout the body. Because guess what? Our brains and our body are not two separate systems. They're intimately intertwined. So if the stress response is physical, part of the solution must also be physical.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
When stress builds, most of us reach for something that will provide immediate relief. We scroll through social media, we watch TV, we eat something, we drink something, we shop. None of these things is bad. A television program can be enjoyable. A glass of wine is part of a social occasion. Food can be comforting and pleasurable. The issue is not whether we should ever do these things. The issue is what we expect them to do. Because distraction is not the same as regulation. Numbing is not the same as recovery. You may stop noticing your stress for an hour, but your body will still be carrying it. Your nervous system may still remain on alert. Your muscles may still be tense. Your breathing may still remain shallow. And sometimes those coping strategies create extra baggage. You stay up watching one more episode and then wake up exhausted. You drink to relax and then you sleep badly. You comfort eat and then you feel guilty and become more stressed. You spend money to make yourself feel better and then you worry about the bill. You book a holiday, but spend the first 3 days recovering from the life you have escaped, and the next 4 days worrying about that very same life that you're going back to. So these strategies may give us a break from noticing stress, but they don't necessarily tell the nervous system that the danger has passed, that you're safe, that you can stand down, and that is the message we need to send. We do not simply need to escape stress. We need to help the body move through the stress response. And this is where walking becomes powerful. Not because walking makes every problem disappear, not because the deadlines vanish, not because the people who test your patience suddenly become the easiest people in the world. The outside world will remain exactly the same, but your ability to meet it with calm can change dramatically. Walking is one of the most natural forms of rhythmic movement available to us. Right arm, left leg, left arm, right leg, again and again. This is called cross-lateral movement. It's predictable, it's repetitive, it's rhythmic. Your body knows what to do. You don't have to learn a complicated sequence. You do not have to perform. You simply move forward. And as you walk, your breathing often becomes deeper and more regular. Blood flow and oxygen delivery increase. Your muscles begin to release some of the tension they've been holding. The natural swing of your arms and the rhythm of your steps can help shift the body out of a frozen, static state. And walking also gives your attention something else to do. You have to navigate the path, coordinate your movement, notice your surroundings. This helps interrupt repetitive, stressful thinking, and that loop really matters. Many of us experience the original stressful event once, but we replay it mentally 50 times. We rehearse the arguments. We rewrite the email. We imagine what might have happened. We invent conversations that have not occurred. And the body responds to those thoughts as though the threat is happening again. Walking can break that loop, not by forcing you to think positively, but by giving the brain new sensory information to land on. The feeling of your feet meeting the ground, the rhythm of your breath, the movement of your arms, the temperature of the air, the sounds around you, the colours in your surroundings. All of that tells your brain, we're here, we are moving, we are not trapped. Walking supports the processes that help the nervous system regulate, reduce tension and return towards a calmer baseline. But how you walk really matters. A brisk fitness walk can be excellent for your heart, your muscles, and metabolism. But the stress buster walk has a different purpose. This is not the walk where you chase pace or you count the calories or the steps. It's not another performance. It's designed to create a felt sense of safety and calm. And one of its most powerful ingredients is nature. Before we continue, I want to mention that I teach the full Stress Buster practice and the other six alchemy walks inside the Walk Yourself Wonderful Academy. The academy is where we take the science and turn it into something that you can actually use in daily life. There's a 7-day free trial so you can explore the training, join the community, and decide whether it's right for you. You'll find the details alongside this episode. So let's return to one of the most powerful elements of this walk. Nature. Most people instinctively know that a walk somewhere green feels different. A pavement beside a busy road does not feel the same as a path through trees. But the difference is not simply personal preference. Research suggests that natural environments can produce measurable changes in the brain and body. A study from the Max Planck Institute involved 63 adults whose brains were scanned before and after a 60-minute walk. Some walked in a forest, others walked along a busy city street. After the forest walk, activity decreased in the amygdala, the part of the brain involved in processing stress and threat. After the city walk, amygdala activity did not decrease. That is fascinating because it shows that nature did not simply make people say that they felt better. There was actually a measurable change within the brain's stress processing system. Large Japanese field studies comparing forests with urban settings have also reported lower cortisol, lower pulse rate, reduced blood pressure, and greater parasympathetic activity in forest environments. The parasympathetic nervous system is often described as the body's rest and digest system. It helps you slow down, recover, digest food, and restore energy. This doesn't mean you have to live beside an ancient forest. You don't need mountains. You just need something natural and alive. A park, a canal, a riverside, a woodland, a field, even a tree-lined street or a green cemetery. Nature gives the brain fewer demands to process, and it gently draws our attention away from rumination, those thoughts that go round and round in our head without stopping. In a city, your attention may be pulled towards traffic, crossings, signs, people, noise, and possible hazards. It's a risky situation. But in nature, your attention can be captured more softly. The movement of leaves, the shape of clouds, birdsong, light passing through branches, grass moving in the wind. Your attention is engaged, but it isn't strained. Your brain is occupied without being overloaded, and that creates space. And in that space, the nervous system can begin to settle.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
So, how do you do the Stress Buster walk? Here is the formula. It's so simple. Nature plus slowness plus breath plus senses equals calm. So let's take each element in turn. So nature, choose the greenest route available to you. That doesn't mean waiting until you can travel somewhere spectacular. Use what you have. If there's a park nearby, if there's a quiet street with trees, use it. Slowness. This is important. The Stress Buster walk is not a fitness walk. Slow is the point. Many of us walk exactly as we live. Fast, rushed, focused on the destination, checking the time, thinking about what comes next. If you carry that same urgency into your Stress Buster walk, you may continue communicating pressure to your body. That means the cortisol loop is never completed. That means chronic stress remains in your body. Slow walking sends a different message. There's no predator chasing us. We don't have to hurry. We have time. You may initially find slowing down uncomfortable. You might feel impatient or self-conscious. You might think, oh, I could be getting somewhere faster. And that reaction tells you something. It shows you how deeply speed and productivity have become embedded within your nervous system. So start with just 3 to 5 minutes of deliberate slow walking. Start at your normal pace and then allow your pace to slow down. Simply walk more slowly than usual. Let's think about the breath. So as you're walking more slowly than usual, allow your breathing to become deeper and more comfortable. You don't need to take enormous breaths. You don't need to strain. You're not trying to win a breathing competition, but your breathing should feel easy. Find a rhythm that feels natural and try and breathe into your belly. The purpose is not to control every breath. It's simply to give the body a steady rhythm. How about your senses? You can walk through a park while mentally remaining at your desk. That's so easy to do. You can walk through a woodland while replaying an argument. That's why sensory awareness matters. A really easy way to get out of your head and into the natural world that surrounds you is just to look up. Look at the sky. As soon as I look at the sky, I'm looking at it right now. I'm always blown away by its beauty. Currently, I can see the fluffiest, whitest clouds moving across the sky, and behind them a bright blue of the sky. And over to my left, there's, I wonder if we're going to get rain today, because I can see some grayer clouds massing up. But the more you look, the more you see the incredible subtlety of the colors, and you immediately get a sense of the hugeness, the huge abundance of the world. You get a sense of perspective, and the problems that are bothering you just seem to float away into that huge sky. Another thing you can look up at is trees. When you look up at trees and you see those green leaves that may be moving gently in the wind, and you see a magnificent tree trunk and the incredible intricacy of branches and twigs, that will take you out of your day-to-day rumination. So look up at the sky, look up at the trees, notice the colours, and listen for the closest sound, and listen for the furthest sound. Notice movement. Feel the air against your skin. You're not trying to become an expert naturalist. You're simply bringing your attention back into the present. Stress often lives in the future or the past. Have you noticed that? What should I have said? What if this goes wrong? The senses bring you back to now, and now you are safe. So let's put that all together and find out how to take a stress buster walk. So allow around 20 to 30 minutes. If you only have 15 minutes, then use those 15 minutes. For example, if you're at work and you really need to take a break, the work of the morning has got on top of you, then 15 minutes is absolutely fine. Choose the greenest route that's available. Wear comfortable clothing, comfortable shoes, and let your arms swing freely. One little note: don't have a shoulder bag on one shoulder, because that can pull your body out of alignment. Instead, carry a rucksack. Begin with a brief body scan. This just takes 1 to 2 minutes. Close your eyes and ask yourself, how does my body feel? How does my mind feel? How do my emotions feel? Run through your whole body from your head down to your toes and be aware. How does it all feel? Now you can begin walking. So start off at your normal pace and then deliberately pull that pace back so that you're walking slower than you normally do. Feel your feet meeting the ground. Allow your arms to swing naturally, breathe comfortably, and bring your attention outwards. Notice the colours around you. Listen, look upwards. Feel the temperature of the air. And after your walk, repeat the body scan. How does my body feel now? How does my mind feel now? How do my emotions feel now? But you may not go from highly stressed to blissful in 1 half-hour walk. Perhaps your shoulders, though, feel slightly lower. Perhaps your thoughts are a little slower. Perhaps you've actually allowed a smile to come to your lips. Your irritation has softened. Your breathing is easier, and that's all evidence. When you repeat the practice regularly, you begin building a personal record. You discover what helps you, you learn how long you need, you identify the routes that calm you most. You stop relying solely on motivation, and you begin trusting your own experience. So that's the simple stress buster walk, easy to do in just 20 minutes. But here's where we can make the experience even deeper with a walking meditation. Some people hear the word meditation and they immediately think, oh my goodness, I cannot do that. That sounds boring and my mind is too busy. But meditation is not about emptying the mind. It's just about giving the mind somewhere gentle to rest. Walking meditation is really useful for people who find sitting still difficult. And it's such a simple practice. Begin by feeling each foot touching the ground and slow your pace right down. Here is how to measure your pace. Breathe in for four counts as you take one step, and breathe out for four counts as you take the next step. If you can do that literally while you're listening to this show, then stand up now and just try it. Breathing in for four counts. One, two, three, four. And then out. Two, three, four. And on each of those breaths, you take one step. So you're going to see how slow this is. And it might feel so difficult because everything in your nervous system, if it's stuck in flight or flight, is saying, go, 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 go. But we're trying to slow that down and we're starting with the body. So try that again. You breathe in, two, three, four, and then out, two, three, four. Take one step, two, three, four, and another step, two, three, four. You may find that walking this slowly, you find it difficult to balance because basically momentum is not carrying you forward. By practicing this walk, you're actually also strengthening your core and strengthening your balance. I also want you to think about, while you're doing those really slow steps, never actually be still during the whole process. So when you've put one foot down, begin taking your next step, but very, very slowly. So you're still walking as normal. Like when we normally walk, we don't stop in the middle of the step, do we? And we're still doing exactly the same. We're walking in one continuous movement. We're just slowing the whole thing down. So you can really become conscious about how your foot is moving. Focus on that, especially if you have racing thoughts. It will give your mind somewhere calm, safe, rhythmic, and peaceful to go. And it will help reduce that stress level. So to take this even further, you can use a mantra. So a simple mantra that I use is breathing in, I arrive. Breathing out, I am home. Breathing in, I arrive. Breathing out, I am home. Breathing in, I arrive, brings you into the present moment. You're arriving into the now. And breathing out, I am home, reminds you that you can return to yourself. Using the mantra will really help prevent your thoughts from wandering. You can whisper the mantra out loud, or you can say it in your head. And sure, your mind may well wander. That's what the human brain is designed to do. Don't become frustrated. Simply return to focusing on your breath, focusing on your feet, focusing on the words of your mantra. You do not need to do the walking meditation for very long to feel an amazing sense of calm and peace and super sensitivity to your natural surroundings. 3 to 5 minutes can change the quality of your experience. The final thing I want to look at is forest bathing. It's another practice that you can add to your stress buster walk. It's a Japanese practice. In Japanese, it's called Shirin Yoku. And it's usually translated as taking in the atmosphere of the forest. Shirin Yoku is a term that was actually introduced in Japan in 1982. And it emerged during a period of rapid industrialization, urbanization, and increasingly technology-based work in Japan. Concern was growing about chronic stress levels in the population, overwork, and stress-related illnesses. Forest bathing doesn't actually mean you need to be in a forest. It's not a long-distance hike. It's more a slow sensory experience of nature. So how do you do it? Again, we're moving slowly through a natural environment. The difference with forest bathing is that we stop, we pause to notice shapes and colours and sounds and movements. So here are some activities that you can try. The first is a tree scan. So imagine you're walking in your local park. As you're walking and you're walking slowly, slower than your normal pace because you're on a stress buster walk, just look around you and see if you can see a tree that you like the look of. And when you've found your tree, all you need to do is go and stand by it and look at the base of the tree where the trunk meets the earth. Now you're going to slowly scan your vision all the way up the tree, up the trunk, noticing colours, noticing texture, maybe mosses or ivy or insects or birds. And you slowly, slowly work your eyes up to the top of the tree. So your tree scan to the top may take 40 to 60 seconds. And when you get to the top, just scan very, very slowly back down again. It's a calming, grounding experience that also allows you to connect with your tree. So some other ways that you can practice your forest bathing is when you're having your slow stress buster walk, see if you can find somewhere to sit down, park bench or on top of a log or just on some grass. Close your eyes and just focus on the sounds around you. You'll find that there are so many sounds and so many depths and textures of sounds that you haven't noticed yet on your walk. A whole world of sound opens up to you. When you've done this, 2 minutes is fine, or you can do it as long as you want. Open your eyes and then really look. Now you're focusing on your vision. Look at a leaf properly if there's a tree in front of you. Ah, I can see the veins in the leaf. I can see shadows on the leaf. I can see mottling of colours. Again, the miracle, the variety, the abundance of nature starts to be apparent to you, things that you've not noticed before simply because you haven't brought your awareness to them. So you may be thinking, whoa, you know, that sounds absolutely wonderful, but right, I've got to fit in a stress buster walk and a walking meditation, forest bathing, and whoa, how do I fit all this in to my busy, busy, busy life? And the answer is that you don't need to think of them as completely separate walks. Think of them as a spice rack. Add a bit of this and a dash of that to create the perfect walk for what you need at that particular moment. So it can be one walk, but containing different ingredients. So the aim is not to create more tasks for you. It's to become more intentional about how you use the walk that you may already be taking. And step by step, you are becoming a walking alchemist. You're learning to take an ordinary activity and match it to what your body and your brain and your heart need. Let's bring it all together. We started by saying that stress is not only in your head, it's a whole body response. And when that response remains switched on, it can affect your sleep, your energy, your appetite, your waistline, your focus, your immune function, your mood and your relationships. And many of us use coping mechanisms to distract us without genuinely helping the nervous system settle. Walking can help because it involves rhythm. It involves cross-lateral movement, breathing, blood flow, sensory input, and forward motion. Nature amplifies that effect. Slowness changes the message that you're sending to your body. Breathing creates that reliable rhythm, and your senses bring you back into the present. Regular practice helps you to create a deeper baseline of calm. How to start? Here's a few ideas. Don't wait until you're overwhelmed. Don't wait for perfect weather. Don't wait until you have an hour. That might never happen. Tomorrow, find 20 minutes. Look in your schedule right now. Find 20 minutes. Could be first thing in the morning, could be last thing in the evening, could be your lunch break. Find 20 minutes. Choose the greenest route available to you. Before you leave, do that body scan. Ask yourself, how does my body feel? How does my mind feel? How do my emotions feel? Go through your entire body from your head to your toes and then begin walking. Start off with your normal pace, but then slow it down. Bring it back deliberately. Start walking more slowly than usual and expect it to feel a little bit challenging, a little bit uncomfortable. It's okay if it does feel uncomfortable. That is just your stress response saying, hey, 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 we got to stay stressed. No, we are working against that. So just walk slowly, even if it feels a little bit uncomfortable. Let your arms swing. Focus on that breathing coming from your belly now. Look at the sky. What's happening up there? Look at the trees. Look at the wonder. Feel your feet as they touch the ground. Try your walking meditation. Breathing in, I arrive. Breathing out, I am home. And then pause beside a tree. Do that tree scan. Look with curiosity. Give yourself time to really examine the tree trunk, the branches, the leaves, the spaces between the leaves. And when you return at the end of the walk, repeat that body scan. How does your body feel? How does your mind feel? How do your emotions feel? If you can, write down the difference. It's really great to record these differences because you can go on your stress buster walk, have the immense feeling of calm and joy, and then 3 hours later, you're back in your day, you've forgotten all about it. So write down the difference in your body or record it on your phone recorder or just put a note on your phone. If you did it every day, then at the end of the week, look at your notes, listen to your phone recordings and really acknowledge the change that the stress buster walk is making in your life. That's all you need to do. And you're not trying to become a different person overnight. What you're doing is teaching your nervous system a new message. You're training your nervous system. You're overriding the message that your modern life is giving to your nervous system. The message you are now giving to your nervous system using your stress buster walk is you are safe. You can slow down. You can recover. As I said before, the outside world, it stays the same. The demands, the deadlines, and difficult people, they will still be there. But your ability to meet them with calm, with compassion, that can change. Walk by walk, breath by breath, step by step. I really hope you try the Stress Buster Walk tomorrow or today if you have a chance. And next week, we're going to dive into the second walk into the alchemy system, and that is the light bulb walk. This is a totally different kind of walk. It's for you if you're at work staring at a report you can't finish, or perhaps you need a fresh idea for a project. Or maybe you're dealing with a personal situation that does not appear to have a solution. This is what the light bulb walk is for. It's to help you get unstuck. So Steve Jobs is well known for taking conversations out on foot. And Apple Park, the campus he helped envision, was designed as a nature-integrated environment with extensive parkland that encouraged movement, connection, and time outdoors. Steve Jobs is well known for saying how his most creative ideas happened when he was walking in nature. And long before Steve Jobs and Apple, Charles Darwin followed a similar instinct. At Down House in Kent, Darwin regularly walked the sand walk after his morning's work. It became closely associated with his thinking routine and accounts describe it as his thinking path. The Darwin Correspondence Project records the sand walk as a regular part of his daily schedule. Darwin and Steve Jobs, they both understood something naturally that modern science is now helping us explain. When the body moves, the mind moves with it. So next week, I'll dig into both the science and the practice. I'll show you how to structure a walk when you need an idea, a solution, or an entirely new way of seeing a problem. Until then, take your first stress buster walk, and I hope it gives you as much joy as it gives me. Happy walking. Ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Walk yourself.